19. The final chapter. Sometimes it is not until the final chapter that you realise what a quest has really been about all along. Stoic's face turned from red anger to pure white terror.
The Doomfang!
Whispered Stoic the Vast in agony, rushing to hold his stiff son in his arms.
By Woden and Freya and Hairy Knuckled Thor! He did get touched by the frozen flames of the Doomfang. And all for a stupid, useless quest for nothing!
Enormous, hairy Stoic the Vast burst into tears. Oh, for Thor's sake, Stoic, cried old Wrinkly, bossily pushing Stoic out of the way. Will you just shut up and listen to me? I'm really not that bad a soothsayer. This has nothing to do with the Doomfang. He took Hiccup's pulse and looked under his eyelids and tapped his chest, which had turned as wooden as a tree trunk. This is Vorpentitis. Stoic reeled back.
And what does that mean?
He whispered through white lips.
It means, said old Wrinkly, that one little weirdo looks very like another when you're soothsaying in a fire, and it was Hiccup who was bitten by the Vorpent and not Fishlegs. So Hiccup has Vorpentitis, and that means that since it is now...
At this point, old Wrinkly reached into Hiccup's breast pocket, hoping to draw out the potato, and in fact drew out the ticking metal thingamy. He looked at the numbers on it and nodded his head.
Oh, exactly 5 to 10 in the morning on Freya's Day Friday, continued old Wrinkly, laying the metal thingamy carefully on the bed beside Hiccup. Your son Hiccup, who has Vorpentitis, has 5 minutes to live.
Old Wrinkly chuckled. This didn't seem to be worrying him much.
Which wouldn't give a great deal of time for us to find an antidote, but luckily, said old Wrinkly, in the spirit of a conjurer, luckily, on your son's so-called stupid useless quest for nothing, he has brought back the antidote with him already. Kamikaze, where is the potato? Doesn't seem to be here in Hiccup's pocket. Have you got it?
Kamikaze was as white as One Eye's back. She shook her head numbly.
No, potato,
she gasped. Old Wrinkly's mouth fell open, appalled.
No potato, shrieked old Wrinkly. What do you mean, no potato? You must have the potato.
Kamikaze shook her head again.
No potato, she whispered.
But I was so sure, whispered old Wrinkly. I was so sure you would bring back the potato. This is the last time I believe a single word those beastly fires say. They told me definitely that you would get it.
Oh, we got it all right, mumbled Kamikaze, miserably.
It was just that the Doomfang ate it.
Oh, my goodness,
gulped old Wrinkly. No potato. Suddenly, old Wrinkly looked every second of his 93 years. His whole body crumpled up like an old brown leaf. Little did Hiccup know, when he was crying on the boat for his friend Fishlegs, that he should have been crying for himself. For it was indeed Hiccup who had been stung all those many months ago, escaping from the Fortress of Sinister. And it was Hiccup who was now moments away from the death he feared for his friend Fishlegs.
What can I do? Roared Stoic the Vast. There must be other cures, other medicines.
Old Wrinkly shook his head.
The potato is the only cure for Vorpentitis.
I'll bring back the potato,
cried Stoic the Vast, drawing his sword, a man of action to the last.
Just tell me where to go and how long I've got.
Well, said old Wrinkly, sadly, the nearest potato is now roughly 3,500 miles away on the distant shores of the country known as America to those who may believe in it. And you have,
old Wrinkly checked the clock sitting next to Hiccup's bed,
exactly 3 minutes to find it.
Even Stoic seemed to feel that perhaps this might be a problem. He strode round the room, tearing at his beard. Old Wrinkly, Kamikaze and One Eye sat at Hiccup's bedside. One Eye didn't seem as happy as he might have been 2 days ago at the thought of one less human in the world. A big tear rolled out of his one eye and down his sabre tooth and plopped onto the ground. Hiccup was as stiff as a board, and his body was now red and boiling hot. Toothless licked his poor red face to try to cool it down.
"The Doomfang!" cried Stoic the Vast. "I could track down the Doomfang and wrestle the potato from him."
"You're going to find the Doomfang in the vast and trackless wastes of an immense and fathomless ocean," said old Wrinkly, wearily, checking the time again on the clock. "In 2 minutes?"
"Face it, Stoic," whispered old Wrinkly.
"What you're talking about is not just improbable. It's impossible."
Fishlegs had drawn back into the shadows, and he was watching his friend's face. Hiccup was trying to say something, but his frozen, burning mouth made it difficult for him to say the words. In fact, he looked very like the Doomfang when he was trying to speak to Hiccup out on the sullen sea.
"Eat me,"
mumbled Hiccup desperately.
"Eat me."
And he tried to point, but his arms were as stiff as if they were made out of wood. Old Wrinkly patted his hand and bathed his forehead with water. Stoic's shoulders heaved with sobs.
"Me!"
cried poor Hiccup again. Fishlegs tried to follow where his friend's eyes were looking, and it seemed like they were staring at the table by the door. On that table lay Hiccup's furry coat, and his helmet, bow and arrows that he had thrown there when he first came into the room.
"1 minute left," whispered old Wrinkly.
"Eat me!"
repeated Hiccup desperately. Sometimes it is only a true friend who knows what we mean when we try to speak. Somebody who has spent a lot of time with us and listens carefully to what we're trying to say and tries to understand. Fishlegs understood. He didn't know why he was supposed to do what he was about to do, but he trusted Hiccup, who always seemed to know the right thing to do. Fishlegs picked up Hiccup's bow. Out of the arrow case he drew an arrow, a singularly beautiful arrow, decorated with feathers from birds Fishlegs had never seen before. Fishlegs fitted the arrow to the bow and pointed the bow towards Hiccup. Stoic looked up from his sobbing. In amazement, here was his son, moments away from dying, and that weird fish-faced friend of his appeared to be about to shoot him. Typical! What a nutcase!
"No!" cried Stoic. "Don't shoot!"
Stoic threw his vast bulk across the room in an attempt to shield his son from the arrow. Of course, he was trying to protect Hiccup's heart and chest. He didn't realise what an appalling shot Fishlegs was, so he jumped far too high. Fishlegs let the arrow go, and it soared in a wobbly, unsteady arc, finally landing in Hiccup's right big toe, piercing through his wet boots and into the skin. It was a bit of a miracle it hit Hiccup at all. In fact, it may just be the only time Fishlegs has ever hit something he was actually aiming at. The arrow that pierced the skin of Hiccup's big toe at 10 o'clock in the morning of Freya's Day Friday was the same arrow that had been soaking for the last 15 years in the magical juices of the potato. Over the past decade and a half, those juices had concentrated on the surface of the metal, and the antidote now made its way into Hiccup's bloodstream, taking its cooling, healing work up every little vein, down every little artery, into every little corner of Hiccup's poor, rigid, boiling little body. In front of their eyes, Hiccup's stiff arms softened. His chest rose and fell. The breath blew out of his nostrils, and his eyes opened. "Hello, Father," said Hiccup. This was just too much for Stoic. He fainted dead away, on the spot, all 6'7" and 3 feet round of him, and it took a great deal more trouble to revive him. He was out cold, and old Wrinkly slapped him, and Hiccup shook him, and Kamikaze tickled his feet, and eventually it was Fishlegs who ran out and filled an enormous bucket full of snow and threw it right in Stoic's face. That brought him to his senses, and Stoic sat bolt upright, spluttering and spitting snow out of his beard.
"You're alive!"
he shouted joyfully, and he hugged his son so hard Hiccup thought his ribs might crack.
"By the bristly beard and thunderous thighs of great goddess Freya, you're alive!"
"He is alive,"
said old Wrinkly, pointedly,
and I think some apologies are in order.
Stoic's brows lowered. However relieved and happy he is, a great chieftain used to absolute power does not like to apologise. But, after a short struggle, Stoic swallowed his pride.
You are right,
said Stoic.
I have been thoroughly wrong, and I am sorry. Old Wrinkly, you are not the most pathetic soothsayer in the uncivilised world, and I'm sorry I ever said you were. Hiccup, you were right to go on the quest for the frozen potato to try and save the life of your odd little friend.
Stoic turned to Fish Legs.
And most of all, Fish Eggs, he boomed solemnly, I have misjudged you.
Fish Legs blushed.
No, no, he stammered.
Yes,
said Stoic, holding up a hairy hand.
I have. A chief has to be big enough to admit it when he is wrong. You are a little weirdo, it is true, but you are a loyal little weirdo. And one day, when my son is chief, I have a feeling he will need some loyal people about him.
Meanwhile, Toothless, who really couldn't stand all this soppy hugging and apologising, flapped away to find a nice warm spot by the fire.
Hiccup!
Toothless called out sleepily when he had found himself a particularly cosy position.
Is there anyone else gonna die in the next 5 minutes?
Hiccup laughed and he asked Old Wrinkly.
No, said Old Wrinkly solemnly. I have examined the fire very carefully and I can say absolutely definitely that nobody is going to die in the next 5 minutes. However, Gobber the Belch, I'm afraid, will catch Fish Legs' cold, and it's a nasty one. Okay then,
yawned Toothless.
If I know I need Toothless, Toothless, go back to sleep.
So just when the Inner Isles were waking up from the coldest, longest winter in 100 years, when the snow was melting, when all the other hunting dragons were opening their eyes underground, preparing to burrow upward, and spring was eventually deciding it was time to arrive, just at this moment, Toothless finally relaxed and went back into hibernation sleep. One Eye settled down next to him, snoring like a dinosaur with sinus problems. Old Wrinkly began to explain to Stoic some of the finer points of soothsaying, and Hiccup and his good friends Fish Legs and Kamikaze wandered outside to spend the rest of the day doing not very much at all. My favourite kind of day. As for Gobber the Belch, why, Gobber the Belch woke up with a throbbing head and sore throat and a nose that ran like a great green river. So it appears that Vikings do catch colds after all.
Choo!